Welcome, everyone. So I'm going to call the public hearing to order to go through the budget. We'll start with a salute to the flag. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is we're going to present the budget. Guy Forte, Trustee Forte, is going to present it. We have a PowerPoint. We'll go through it. There's handouts back here, so everybody can kind of follow along. And we'll go through this first, and then we'll open the floor for public comment.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming to the our annual public hearing on the budget. This is for the 18-19 budget starting June 1, 2018. Just to give you an overview of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how we prepared the budget. We'll go over a summary which you have in front of you, as well as going through each of the funds, the general fund, both revenues and expenditures, and the water fund, and its revenues and expenditures. So we started this process in January when the mayor called for budget requests from the departments. Some of them were submitted on time, some weren't, but January 26th is when they were supposed to be submitted. We had two budget workshops. Some of you attended those, March 21st and March 28th. And then today we have this budget hearing, and later in the regular meeting we'll vote on the budget. So, summary. I'll bring you through this chart. You have a copy of that in front of you. I think it's the same. So we have the two funds, the general fund, which is also called the A fund, the water fund, also called the F fund. We have its appropriations here, which is what we expect to be spending, or we have budgeted to spend. In the A fund, $751,332. The F fund, $275,615. We have an estimated revenue. This is not taxes, but this is revenues from different sources. So we have sales tax from the county. We have mortgage tax from home sales and things like that. We estimate that in the A fund at $327,641, and the water fund $256,670. Then we have a bit of unexpended balance. So we're appropriating money that's been left over from other years of our spending. Oh, and it's going crazy. So back there. So that is in this column here. That's the unexpended balance. So we're appropriating that for the A fund. We're appropriating $100,000. For the F fund, we're appropriating $18,945. And I'll explain what that, where that money comes from, and what it's there for a little bit later when we talk about the F fund. When you subtract the appropriations, or when you subtract the revenues, the unexpended balances from the appropriations, you get the amount that we have to raise through taxes. That number, $323,691 in the A fund. There's no taxes in the F fund. There's water fees. Those aren't taxes. So let's compare that to last year. Last year's budget, 2017-18, is right here. The amount to be raised by taxes was the exact same amount. So what this tentative budget proposes is a zero change in the tax levy. So that means that we were not trying to raise taxes. And you can see that the water fund appropriations are a little bit higher, but we're taking most of that, or a lot of that's coming from our revenues, but some of it's coming from the unexpected balances. So in the end, the tax rate, which everyone is very concerned about, is this year proposed to be $5.05 per $1,000 of assessed value of your property. That compares to last year at 507, so there's actually a reduction of 2 cents per thousand on the tax rate. We're still, again, collecting the same amount, but it's a smaller tax rate. We'll move into the talk about this relative to past tax levies. So this chart shows the adjusted inflation-adjusted dollars for tax levies at different points in time in the past. So 2001, 2002, the inflation-adjusted tax levy would have been $460,236. A few years later, you're looking at $422,447. A few years after that, $350,000. And then this, what we're proposing this year, in today's dollars, $323,691. So what this suggests is that we're doing village operations at less cost in terms of your actual dollars. So
sort of what we're paid to do.
General fund revenues. These are, so you probably have more detail in some of your backup here, but we've grouped some of those together. And in this chart, so we have different categories of revenues along the side, the left side here. And each one of these columns is the budgets from the last 4 years, and then the tentative budget, which is the one we're talking about today. And you can see the changes over time. The biggest change here is we're estimating a little more state funding and aid. In the past, we've been estimating the revenues from our state funding and aid at lower than we're actually getting. So just keeping that more realistic. Looking back at the trends over the last few years, we raised that a little bit. That's pretty much the rest of them are about the same. Not much different, a little miscellaneous. Again, miscellaneous is hard to estimate, but given the averages over the last few years, that's a small amount. You can see the appropriations are a little bit higher than they have been in the past, but again, or the revenues are a little bit higher than they have been in the past, but as I said, we've been underestimating those over time. To see these numbers again, this is in terms of percentages, so where revenues are coming from, what proportion of the revenue comes from these different categories, so in taxes and property taxes and other levies. You can see that number is, and this is again over time, so the earliest years will be in the left side, and as time goes on, you get the right side. So you can see that's been going down, trending down. These non-property taxes, these are like sales tax and things that we get from the county. It's been about, it's been going up a little bit over time. And actually, there's a report put out by the former county executive, Kathy Jimeno, earlier this year, or actually it was last year, talking about trends in sales tax, and the county's been going up in the last few years. So we've been getting more. Departmental revenues, we're looking about the same over time, maybe a little bit down in terms of percentage of the revenues. Down. State funding and aid, again, we have that increase that we talked about earlier. Okay, so that's the revenue side. Now the A fund on the expenditure side, this is essentially a spending plan. Again, these are aggregated categories, so we have legislative and executive, which is the funds that pay for the work of the board, the clerk, actually no, it's not the clerk, the board, the attorney, some association fees, things like that. Again, over time, you can see where that number's been. It's a little bit higher this year, although there isn't any increase in salaries for administration and finance. That's the clerk and the treasurer and their equipment and some contractual expenses, things like office supplies and things like that. And you can see that number has been around the same over time, so maybe a little bit lower this year than in the past. Central and shared services, those include things to keep this building in order, village insurance policy, phones, network, heating expenses, and these are things that are shared across a number of departments. So it's not, you can't sort of say, well, the heat for the office is, you can't separate that out from the heat for the police department or heat for the judge's office. It's sort of so put those things all together in this central. You can see we're estimating a little bit lower this year spending on those. Public works. So this is includes things like the highway department salaries, their equipment, contractual expenses, road repairs, snow removal, things like that. Public works, we have an increase this year, and I'll talk about what that's targeted towards. So that's probably the biggest increase we see across any of these lines. Public safety, that includes police and the animal control, and all the expenses associated with those. You can see a small increase there. Planning and zoning, we have, this number's been going up. So as many of you know, we've been over time trying to make the efforts to enforce code a little bit. We're trying to do that more and more. And one of the things we're trying to find this year is someone who will actually be willing to enforce code. So we're going to try to make that position more attractive by spending more money on it, essentially giving that person more money. Maybe that will convince them to do the job. That's the premise, at least. Judicial, that's the judge, all the expenses in the court. You can see that's about even over time. It really hasn't changed that much. Other services includes things like the parks, youth beautification committee, and the fund we started a couple years back, the Economic Opportunity Fund, which will go to expenses to fund things like grant writing and matches on grants that we have to in order to get grant money, we need to be able to match it, so more money there. We've increased that quite a bit this year. We doubled the amount in the economic opportunities line, so now we're at $17,800 for that. Employee benefits, these are things like Medicare and Medicaid, the Social Security and Medicare. Health insurance benefits for those who choose to use them, for the village employees who use them. You can see that number really hasn't changed. In fact, it's gone a little bit down over time, making smart choices about that. So you can see our revenue expenditures over time. They move around a little bit higher maybe this year. And again, that public works put more money into that line this year. So as a percentage, so now we're going to look at these numbers not absolute, but as a percentage of all the expenditures, the different categories here, you can see they're pretty much flat across, a little bit less in central and shared services. Public works up this year, public safety down this year. And then some of the other smaller ones, except planning and zoning, that's the effort to try to enforce code a little bit more, and judicial about the same, play benefits down as I mentioned before. And we don't have any debt on the A fund. So initiatives. I'm going to put these all out at once because for some reason I did it that way. So one of the things that we've been talking about for a while, and we're actually doing it this year, is we're turning over all property assessing responsibilities to the towns, both Nassau and Scodek, so that we no longer have to pay for that service. We'll have to probably pay the cost of sending the letters out, of course, but you don't have to pay for the assessor part. We'll be continuing implementing the village master plan, so we just started zoning law review, continued economic development activities around grants, increased code enforcement efforts. All of these things came out of the master plan that we adopted several years ago, so we're going to continue doing that. I talked about the public works increase in the funding there. That is for road and sidewalk repair projects. The specifics of those aren't available yet, but we are developing that plan, and we'll have that publicly available as soon as possible. But that's where those funds are going to be. The public works funds are going to go towards. Again, as I mentioned, an increase in funds for the economic opportunity efforts. We doubled that line item. We're going to continue to think ahead and contribute to our capital equipment replacement and project funds. And we have small cost of living increases to most employees for the village, around 2%. Except for the board. The board did not receive any, and the treasurer did not receive any. Revenue on the water fund. So this, of course, is one of the major expenses in the village is the water system. This is revenue, so most of the revenue is through fees. The fees that you pay twice a year, pay them every 6 months in April and October. There's a fee for using the water, and there's also a payment on the bond for the debt we owe for building the tank, the water tank, and doing the work on Route 20 several years ago. So we have those payments to come in. You can see, over time, the increase here between 15, 16, 16, 17, that was the bond that we had to take out for the work on Route 20 after that year of horrible water main breaks every couple of days. So in terms of expenditures, there's administration of the water department, which includes, making sure that the bills go out and collecting all the payments when they come in and handling that kind of side. You have operations, which is the DPW, working on the water system as necessary. When there's any breaks, they can come in and do the work. We have employee benefits. Of course, it's the share of the employees who take those benefits on the water fund side. Miscellaneous is essentially, that's our contingency fund, about $10,000. And then the debt service, again, that's the combined payments we'll make this year on the debt, so $18,500. So over time, you can see that those numbers really haven't changed all that much in terms of percentage of it. The biggest change was here when we had to take the additional bond to do the work on the one. Now I'll bring these all on at once. So one of the things you saw in the presentation and the summary at the beginning was we were going to use unexpended or unallocated fund balance to offset some of the some of the appropriations in the water fund. So what that means is there's money that hasn't been allocated to anything that's in the bank and on the water fund side, and we're going to use some of that each year. At least the plan is, this is 1 year, but the plan is to continue this throughout the life of the bond repayment. To move that repayment part from $70 you pay now to $50 in each bill. So that's a savings of $20 on your water bill, each bill. We're going to continue to maintain and grow the reserve funds to deal with emergency repairs, and I'll have to remind everybody about the emergencies we had that 1 year. We're going to continue to refine a formal water main maintenance and upgrade plan, so we need to identify the weak areas and try to reinforce those. We're going to implement the water source protection plan that we're just finalizing now, which will ensure that the wells remain pure and we don't have any problems that have arisen in other municipalities. And then we're going to continue to think about capital fund projects and equipment replacement plans. So continue to fund those things over time. So that's all I have, and I thank you for your attention, and we'll get on with the hearing part.
Thanks.
Got to cool the bulb down first.
Missing, close your eyes. Missing. Look away. I didn't want to blind you.
All right, Laura, you're up first.
Thank you. So, I want to thank the board and the village staff for the hard work and dedication to making our community a great place to live in. However, there's still room for improvement, such as community solar to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels, upgrading our aging water infrastructure, and seeking administrative efficiencies across shared services or just reaching other communities. I've requested this numerous times. Can you use your website as a vehicle to communicate with us? Get in the budget tonight and sit here with a calculator trying to hear a guy is absurd. It should be posted to your website, so we have time to review it and actually devise some good narrative and comments for you. I applaud the board in recognizing these valued employees and wanting to compensate them appropriately. However, there's no uniformity in salary percent increases. They range from 150% for zoning to 1.92% for the court officer. Maybe the increases are additional hours, but that wasn't relayed to me. I'm also asking the board to consider additional police department hours, especially during the daytime. Just this week, my boyfriend was walking our dog down a proposed rail trail on John Street at 8:30 in the morning and came across a young man passed out in his car. I've also had the opportunity to hear over the past several months from hundreds of residents asking for the daytime hours, because the potential for crime increases when the village doesn't have an officer on duty. And I believe just last month, Mr. Warner asked if we could have summertime officers on duty during the day when the children are out of school. But specific questions to the budget are the property tax cap, the first line, 1001. You said that you were going to collect $323,691. You collected $323,317, which is a difference of $374. Do you know if you've received the...
No, it's actually, there was someone agreed their taxes, went to arbitration, so it was settled after the budget was done.
Okay. Line 3005, state aid mortgage tax. Nothing's been collected in years.
We think that has not been appropriately cataloged.
Okay. 2770, unclassified revenue. Do you know what your $6,482 is for?
Might be mortgage tax.
So you don't?
I don't know.
Okay, well, that's my comments.
So I will just say to you with in regards to the personnel raises, the hourly personnel people and some of the salary personnel people all got 2% raises. No one got more than that. There's money in zoning because we are going to intend to hire an additional
person to do code enforcement and separate it from building inspection.
Correct.
So that's what the extra money is in there for. It's not a raise for the building inspector.
And just looking at the way that you put the budget in zoning, I mean, that seems to be the crutch of this village, is we have no enforcement. Nobody wants to do it. So I don't think that, somehow I think the salaries is off. I still don't think that what you have allotted will get a person in that's just going to do enforcement, because that's the worst job. I mean, you have a lot of money up in the personal service for building. I mean, I'm just...
Right. I understand that. The building, you know, the building end of it requires certain certifications, mm-hmm, and things, and they are not necessarily required for the enforcement piece.
Right, but as we all know, the enforcement piece is the crap job, so...
Right. So we'll see how it goes.
Thank you.
It's a start.
Thank you.
Sue, you're up next.
Okay, hi. 50 Elm Street, Nassau. Susan Forte. Certainly want to thank the board. First time I've seen the budget, for your efforts to improve sidewalks, roads, code enforcement. Certainly what the master plan, the vision of the master plan, zoning enforcement, it certainly seems to be there. I'd like to tack on to what Lori said. We have the vision is to have a nicer community. For me, that equates to safety. I'm a work at home person, so I'm here almost 24 hours a day. You'll see me on a bright blue bicycle riding almost every day on my lunch break when the weather gets warmer. Currently, I walk. I'm nervous crossing Route 20 on either on foot or vehicles, because on my bicycle, because I see how fast people go. And I think it's generally recognized that we don't have police services during the daytime hours. So I noticed that the budget was very flat for law enforcement. Safety to me is as important as any other line. Especially when you're talking about having a community that people want to live in. I was struck by a vehicle last year on my while I was stopped on my bicycle. So I think having a police presence will wake people up to maybe paying more attention, being more vigilant, not speeding on Route 20. So, from a personal experience. Also, like Lori, I had the opportunity over the past few months to speak to hundreds of people. And I can tell you on less than one hand did I hear negative things about the police department. I was accompanied by the police commissioner during all these conversations. I heard countless positive things. So just wanting to say that I believe the whole sort of anti-police motif in this community is vastly overstated. That's my experience. As I said, I spoke to hundreds of people, and safety is as important as anything else. And again, thank you for your efforts on the budget.
Judy Ziller.
I'm Judy Ziller. I live at 50 Elm Street. Again, thank you all for the hard work on the budget. It's very, very impressive, and I know you spent hours and a lot of time and effort working on it. I too am very concerned about lack of police during the day. I'm retired now. I've lived here 18 years, and sometimes I can barely get out of my own driveway. The traffic, especially coming down County Route 7 where there's no stop sign and people just come barreling down, nobody does 30 miles an hour on Elm Street. It's pretty scary trying to get out. People are walking, people are out there with their dogs, they're out there planting their flowers, they're out there with children running around, and these cars are just whizzing past. They don't stop because they know. No one's there to stop them. A better police, or I should say more hours, a few more hours, would act as a deterrent. It always does. It always does. I mean, people know that they can't speed in certain areas, but they know when the police are on duty and when they're not on duty. That just spreads word of mouth. And it really is a danger to people like myself and anybody who's trying to just walk around the village. And this is still a village where people do walk just for recreation, which I think is a wonderful thing. But I certainly agree with Susan. Route 20 is just so hazardous to walk and even drive, and especially now with Cumberland Farms and everything, we've seen so many near misses at that intersection, it's unbelievable. And again, I think that having a few more hours with the police around, it would make people stop and think a little bit more about what they're doing. So thank you.
Jordan Harrington.
Good evening. My name is Jordan. I recently purchased 27 Westbrook Drive, so hello to all my new neighbors. Good evening, everybody. Part of the reason that I purchased that property comes from the safety standpoint. I knew that this village had very low crime rates, and I knew that through my career in law enforcement. And quite frankly, a safe community is where I want to live and where I want my family to grow up. So that was really the driving factor in my house purchasing, was to go to a village where I knew it was safe. But safety doesn't just happen by chance. It doesn't happen by magic. It comes from these hardworking officers that you have in your police department. I'm well aware that public safety comes at a cost. I'm well aware of that. I'm not naive. And I know that we all want to save money. But at the same time, I would pay whatever it took to keep these guys around. Whenever considering budgets, when it comes to public safety, specifically law enforcement, what I want everybody to remember is when you pick up the phone and call 911, I don't know if anybody in this room has ever had to do that, but that's a pretty terrifying moment if you've had to do that. That means I have an emergency, I need the police, and I need them now. And I'm gonna be very comfortable knowing if these guys are on duty, that they're 60 seconds away, maybe 90 at the most. If they're not on duty, I'll be lucky to get one deputy sheriff, but they could be coming from the patrol station in Troy. They gotta go down 787, they gotta hop on I-90, they gotta get off at 11, they gotta go through Skodak. So maybe 20, 25 minutes if we're lucky. Or if they're not around, we can rely on the troopers, but they could be coming from Steventown, Berlin, Postenkill. Again, 20 to 25 minutes. And when you're on the phone with 911 saying, I need the police and I need them now, I know I'm not prepared to wait 20 or 25 minutes. And I don't think anybody in that situation would. So whenever a discussion for budgeting, when it comes to the police comes up, kind of piggybacking what everybody said here, not only do I think we should not be going backwards, I think we should be going forwards. I think they should be on duty more often. I know that's easier said than done, but just as a village resident, I just want everybody to know that I'm gonna sleep a lot better at night knowing that the Nassau PD is patrolling my neighborhood and is gonna be a minute away if I need them, and I'm not gonna have to wait 20 or 25 minutes. Thank you guys very much, appreciate your time.
John Knight.
Thank you. I've been a resident of the village now for about 7-8 years. I work for the Sheriff's Department. I'm a sergeant with them, and I too also pro-police here. I believe we need to patrol, especially during the day. I come home from work from the Sheriff's Department at 8 in the morning, and as I'm entering the village, and I'm slowing down to 35 as I'm entering the village, I see that traffic in front of me pulling away from me, and I get to see that sign that we have now, and I get to see that they're doing 45, 55, and a 35 as I'm doing my 35. And so it's because the people know that during the day, there's no police on duty. And in the evening, as I'm driving through the village, or at night as I'm heading to work, I see people doing 30 to 35 because they know those officers are sitting out there on Route 20 by the border or at the mobile station or at Cumbie's or wherever. So the people tend to drive slower through the village at night. We do need that presence during the day. And one time, and I also live right on John Street, so I got that stop sign right across the street from my apartment. And as I sit in my apartment during the day, looking out my window, I see people running that stop sign all the time. Now, every time I step outside my apartment, whether I'm in uniform or my civilian clothes, people tend to know that I live there and that I'm with the sheriffs. So as they approach that stop sign, they're like, oh man, there's that guy. And they come to a complete stop after they were just about to roll through the sign. They come to that complete stop because they're like, oh, he's out there, you know. They don't realize I don't have actually any real authority to ticket them because I'm a corrections officer, not a highway patrolman. But they stop when they see me. But when I'm in my apartment looking out, none of them stop. They run that sign. And one time, excuse me, I was out there during the day and I was at my vehicle. So the person couldn't see me because I was on the sidewalk side of my vehicle. He comes through, literally ripping through there, 35, 40 miles an hour, spins his back end of his car around, nearly takes out my car, almost slamming it into me. Then he turns down Boldness Way, taking off down there, not having seen me at all, but I knew it was a dead end, so I took off on foot after the guy. And then as he turned around and came back out, I had my sheriff's badge out. I stopped him and basically kind of chewed him out and said, dude, you almost killed me. You spun that car around, you know, making the skid marks, nearly taking out my car and slamming it into me. I said, slow it down, knock it off. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Sarge. And then I let him on his way. Then I told Jones about it, and he said, you should have held him a little longer and gave me a call. On your report, I would have, you know, ticketed him. But if he had been there during the day, it would have been easy to call. But these guys aren't there during the day to call. So I'm a very strong proponent that these officers need to be on during the day because there's a lot that goes on during the day. And people know they're not there. Thank you.
All right, so that everyone signed up is spoken. Bill?
Bob, I'm sorry I didn't sign up on the way in. I didn't know I needing to speak. Turn to the front page, if you would, on the budget here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at, under the water fund appropriations, 3/4 of the way down. The unexpended, the estimated revenue is $266.70. That represents the amount that we paid out of pocket. Okay? The amount to be raised by taxes is $275,615. That's a surplus of $15,000. Now, my question is, if it's
where are you, Bill?
I'm right down here on page 1 under water fund appropriations.
Right. Okay.
Okay. 266.70 versus 275.615. That's a $15,000 roughly surplus. Last year, the surplus was $24,000. Before that, I don't know how much surplus there was, but my question is, how much money is in the water fund? This is zero-based budget. Mm-hmm. In other words, the amount that we pay out should equal the amount that we collect.
Or set aside.
Okay, but it doesn't show that here. How much money is in the water fund right now? Do you have any idea?
No, not off the top of my head. Well, I do not. This is a budget, so this is the budget for
yes,
next
I know
year.
It's a budget, but
so it doesn't take into consideration the monies that are in the capital funds or in the fund balance. It doesn't take into consideration those things.
Guy indicated that based on the budget this year, our cost would get down $20. Now we're paying $186
right.
every 2 months, so we're going to get a $20 credit on that.
You're going to get the bill will be for $20 less next in April,
okay.
in October, and in April to follow.
Okay.
That's the year that we're talking about.
That's the year we're talking about.
Right, because the bill you just got this.
In this year, we'll have a $15,000 surplus. If you go by zero-based budget, okay, the appropriation should equal the revenues.
Well, the year's not over yet, Bill.
Well, I know it's not over, and it wasn't over last year, and we had a $24,000.
Right, and we're working through that, as you well know, and you were there when we decided how we were going to reduce the fund balance by reducing the bond payments to the measures.
I don't think it's
measures.
Quite enough, okay?
Well,
but I'll leave
okay.
it here. Thank you.
Okay, Donna, did you have something?
Yes, just a...
Hmm?
Living on John Street, the traffic goes by at a clip. I talked to Guy Forte about it, especially when they're coming off from work, 4:30, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. They zip down. If they're going to Westbrook Drive, they come on Cozy, they slow down. If they live down at the end of the street, and I don't know who they are, they go down John. So I said, could you put the sign with the, tells them how fast they're going, would that be possible? Then they would see how fast they're going, because if you're out there doing yard work, there's no sidewalks. And they go down that street. Well, they came one day and they stood, sat across the street from my house at 3:30 in the afternoon. Well, no one comes home at 3:30. It's usually 4:35. So they sat there, they left, they came back. That wasn't really.
Okay, but this is, we want to just kind of stay on the budget. I'm not that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, was it having to do with the police? I don't.
Well,
know
no, yeah, this is budget
but
stuff.
If they could just monitor.
Okay.
Elm Street does have sidewalks. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I had to say.
Can I just say one thing to that? Because it has to do with the budget.
Okay.
Yeah. Donna? So.
Pardon me?
Donna. I want to answer that. I want to answer your comment, because we actually put in this year's budget, one of the reasons why we didn't bring the sign down to you
right.
is because we don't have a hitch to bring it down anymore.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. You told me you
no,
had it.
No, but I want to tell you that now. I was mistaken when
oh,
I talked
yes.
to you. But I want to tell you now, in this year's budget, we are going to get a hitch for one of the police vehicles so that we can move that sign around.
Oh.
And we will bring it down to you.
Okay.
So.
I mean,
I just want to let you know.
I don't know the police hours,
yeah.
but they do patrol our streets, but they fly down the street at supper time.
All right.
Yeah,
budget related, because I can close, start, open discussion, and you can discuss whatever you want.
Can I talk?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
If it's budget.
They talk about the budget in the police department, right? I hear a lot of stuff that goes on in the village all the time. I don't know why I hear it, but I do. A lot of people say that there's two people on, two cops at night, two police officers on duty at night. Why can't they have one a day and one at night? I mean, state troopers ride around all over the place by themselves. Or is it because they have a daytime job, nobody's available to work days? Is that the reason? Because they got a daytime job? They can split those forces. Especially when the kids are on vacation, you know. And like everybody says, during the day, the cars are speeding, there's more traffic during the day, and there's nobody around. But you go up here at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and there's two police cars sitting across from Cummings, just sitting there. Two. One could work during the day, one could work during the night. It's only a small village. I mean, troopers ride around by themselves all day long. They're on back roads. We got street lights all around the village. It can't be that dangerous. Yesterday, there was something going on over here by the hardware store. The sheriff was there. The ambulance was there. Two state troopers. I don't know if the SO was there or not. I don't know what happened down here. That was during the day. But now you go down here tonight, and or Friday night, Saturday night, there'll be two officers there in two cars, motors running, what have you. It's all budget money. Why can't one work during the day? I don't understand why they can't break it up during the day. If they say drugs move at night, if I was a drug dealer, which I'm not, no police in Nassau during the day, I'd run my drugs during the day. Nobody's around. I don't understand why they have to have two at night and none during the day. I really don't. I mean, and if you talk to anybody out there, everybody complains about, I'm going to say everybody, at 2 at night. Why? I don't understand. Maybe I could answer that for you. I don't know.
Well, we're sticking with budget right now. Let's get through the budget hearing. And.
Well, you're asking for more money for police. Well,
we have a budget.
Put the time.
We didn't ask for any more budget.
Yeah, we didn't put any more money in. We didn't put the daytime.
Some folks asked for those, but it's not in the budget.
I don't know about
all right. So I'm going to close the budget hearing and entertain a motion to close the budget hearing.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Charlie.
Second.
Second by Guy. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion is carried.